The AltJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Welcome to the AltJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight is a special evening. Tonight, Alt is celebrating its 20th year, and Alt is busy having a celebration as we speak. So tonight I'm going to be interviewing a couple of people who have been involved in currently running Alt and previously involved in setting up Alt. And we're going to hear from them the story of Alt and what Alt is doing and what Alt is accomplishing. So welcome to the AltJet Business Show, a special show dedicated to AltJet. And now we've got the CEO of Alt, Ariella Rosenberg, with us. Obviously, tonight is a special night, the 20th celebration of AltJet. And as you know, I normally start off with a business story, but we're going to do it differently tonight. Ariella was sharing with me a beautiful story, and I thought, wow, on this 20th year celebration for AltJet, it would be great if the business story came from Ariella. So Ariella, if you can give us the business story for tonight.
David, that's a big honor. Thank you. So the story is about a grandfather and a grandchild who are walking, and they a beggar comes to the grandfather and asks for money. And the grandfather says to the beggar, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you money, but I want you to meet me tomorrow at the port at 6 o'clock in the morning." The grandson looks at his grandfather and he's very disappointed, and he says, "Why didn't you give me money? You've got so much." And the grandfather says, "You will join me too tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the morning." And the day after, the grandfather and the grandson meet the beggar, and there the grandfather carries fish rods and he teaches both the grandson and the beggar how to fish. And then the grandfather says to the grandson, "If I had given him money, it would have lasted the person for maybe 1 day, 2 days, but by teaching the person how to fish, it will last him for a lifetime." And for me, that's the story of Alt.
Thank you, Ariella, for sharing that amazing business story with us. And we're going to come back to Ariella a little bit later, but with us is Helene Silverman Itzkin, HOD AltJet, the new business development manager at AltSA. Helene, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. And our purpose is to educate people to make them employable. So within AltSA, we have a skills development division. We have another division that works within the school system, teaching coding, robotics, and coding. It's STEM education. And our skills development division takes care of unemployed youth, where we give them the skills that they need to thrive in the business world. Because in a country like South Africa, where there are very, very few jobs, we encourage self-employment through enterprise development, and the support that they get from those divisions help them to run their own businesses. We started in 2005. We did start initially only working within the Jewish community. And then we had many requests from, you know, the broader South Africa asking us if they can join the program. And we were really happy to onboard whomever would like to join us. Our goal is to take in small businesses who need help. And we believe that the combination of mentorship, training, and networking is a fantastic recipe for success.
So if a business joins Alt or AltJet, what do you take them through? What are the costs involved for them, and what are the benefits? What do they gain by joining AltJet?
When a business joins us, they go through an induction process. What we offer and what we expect from them is very clearly outlined there. We have a number of top mentors who give of their time for free. And should somebody on the program try and access them on their own, firstly, it would cost them a lot of money. And secondly, they may not necessarily be able to get hold of them. or to, develop a relationship where they could be mentored by these individuals. The cost of AutoJet is simply a commitment fee. It's nothing, if we were to, and we have calculated the cost of the AutoJet program, if it was paid for at market value, is well over 150,000 rand for the year. We're associated with, with wonderful organizations and wonderful universities and educational centers and other incubators, and the access and the information and the help that is given to these businesses that join us from the external is phenomenal.
So besides the actual mentorship, what else do they get? Do the businesses have to come in once a week or once a month? Do they get training? Do they get exposure to other things that can help their businesses?
So when they join the program, they're told that we run boot camp. We run boot camp twice a year, and boot camp is our training. So we cover anything from digital marketing to sales to strategy to finance, brand, personal branding, many, many others. There are 12 modules that they go through, and the facilitators are world class. So they're getting educated and assisted by top people for their skills training. Over and above that, they sit with our panel when they first join the program. And the panel is made up of four business people from different spheres who look at their business. And a business may come in and say to me, "Oh, Helene, I really do need help with marketing." But once they go through the process of that meeting with the panel, it's established where to start. And often a business, is in a really bad state. We often intervene and we put them with a business with a coach, a personal life coach, to help them get to a place where they would be stronger and in a better position to really run their business. We work collaboratively with them, and together we make a difference.
And the mentors, I presume, are people who've been successful in the business world previously and are now looking to give back.
Yes. So we work with really well-known people. I mean, we work with people like Clive Butko. We work with old Arthur Goldstuck. We work with Ian Mann, to mention, just a few. We have unbelievable access. We work in marketing with people like Sam Michaels. So it's very, very, very high level. We work with Ian Furr, who also helps us with our businesses. Ken Verriges. So these are unbelievable people who've walked the road before, who kindly give of their time and their expertise to help others.
Do you have some stories of some of the businesses that have been through AutoJet that have been successful?
Yes. So if we look at businesses like Ooh La La came here many, many years ago, and she has built a business that is international. She has built a brand. She is hugely, hugely successful. If you hear her business story, it's not about it went from zero to hero. It went from zero to hero over many years with trials and errors, with mentorship. She came to us in the beginning. She went away. She ran with what she had. She asked again at the beginning of the year, "I'm battling a little bit with scaling. Can you help?" So we put her in with somebody like Jeff Solomon, who has helped her to scale and helped her to do what she needs to do. Businesses like Sheer Bliss. I remember during COVID, Nadine coming to me and saying, "I can't. I'm closing it. I can't." And saying, "Nadine, hang in there. Just hold on. It's going to be over soon and you're going to rebuild it." And today, Nadine is opening up in the UK. She has also grown that business phenomenally.
So it sounds like it's not just helping out, and when you finish with the course, you move on. It sounds like it's a continuous relationship that they can keep coming back and get input where they need it.
100%, Dave. So we're a community. We're a support community. And some of the businesses do join for a year, and once they're off the program, then they choose not to come back. But we have many, many businesses, and mentors and facilitators that have been with us since the beginning. We hope that the relationships remain strong. Somebody like Ian Janet, who was here in our inductions way before I even joined, and he himself today also still part of the organization, still part of what we do. Karen Katz, Laurie Milner, many of the yourself. I mean, you've been here for many, many years. You can attest to what we do and, the success rate of our businesses. I'd like to encourage businesses, not only those that are battling, but encourage those that are doing well to join us. Come and join our community. Come and listen to our unbelievable speakers.
Thank you. And that was Helene Silverman-Itzkin, HOD Ortjet, the new Business Development Manager at Ort SA. If you just joined us, you're listening to the Ortjet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're talking to Dr. Avron Jurison. Tonight is the 20th anniversary celebration or birthday party for Ortjet. And Avron was the first CEO of Ortjet and is explaining to us the process that they went through to set up Ortjet initially. And after Dr. Avron Jurison, we'll then be talking to a few other people from those days and from the current times, explaining what Ortjet really does and how it developed from those early days 20 years ago.
Great to be on the show. I think you're doing a magnificent job and kol hakavod to all your efforts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we want to get to all your efforts that created all of this. So, what was the thinking in
Yes.
the beginning? What sparked the thought that you needed to create something different, and you created Orjet, and then you actually managed it for those 5 years?
In that initial founding group, it started with Paul Bacher, and just it was Paul Bacher's idea. And then he took it to one or two other guys, and then it went to this broader group of guys, including the chief rabbi. A few of the guys in the broader group were Lawrence Brick, Mark Seif. Obviously, it was Paul there. It was his idea initially. You had Daryl Krawitz, Sean Melnick, David Frankel, Gary Herbert, and the chief. As you can hear, a very significantly well-connected group of individuals. And it was their idea, in order to coming off Paul's idea, to actually get this more formalized as NGO and active in the Jewish community. In fact, they were looking for a place to house Ortjet. Like, which organization should we try and house this idea, not in terms of assisting Jewish businesses? And they approached Michael Seif, and Michael Seif thought it was a great idea, and then they put it into Ort, South Africa. And it was that point that the guys realized, okay, we know all these are very business individuals in themselves. We need a CEO to obviously set this up, put the structures in place, and start getting this organization together.
So what sparked the reason for creating this? Why did you want to create an organization to help others in their own businesses?
So, Dave, the idea which came to Paul Bacher, and I think from various interactions, was the following. We know that there are different levels of tzedakah or charity in Judaism, but the highest level is actually enabling someone to become self-sufficient. So it's one thing handing out money and as charity, but it's another thing obviously teaching people to become self-sufficient themselves. As you know, there's that proverb, I think it's a Chinese proverb. Instead of handing out fish, teach individuals how to fish. And I mean, you would know as a seasoned business person as well, is that it's often less about the money and what you do with the money, what your skill set is. And there was definitely a gap in the Jewish community in South Africa, a skills gap. In other words, there were very, and there are very successful Jewish entrepreneurs and business people, and there are those who are struggling. So we wanted to match those two together and say, okay, you don't only have to give money to assist struggling Jewish businesses. How about giving of your time? It's actually more difficult to give time than money. How about handing over skills transfer and assisting and advising and guiding? And we've got we've got these individuals in the community. So let's set up an organization that we're bringing consultants, if we can call them consultants, who are prepared to give up their time and hand over skill sets and teach individuals who are successful in business to those who are just starting off or are struggling in different areas. Let's let's match those skills to the businesses. And that's really the spark of Orjet, how it was born from Paul Bacher to the founding member group and how it came to. And obviously, that makes sense that it sits in Ort South Africa, because Ort South Africa is also about teaching the broader community skills to become self-sufficient.
The OrtJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the OrtJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're talking to Dr. Avron Urison. Tonight is the 20th anniversary celebration or birthday party for OrtJet. And Avron was the first CEO of OrtJet and is explaining to us the process that they went through to set up OrtJet initially. And after Dr. Avron Urison, we'll then be talking to a few other people from those days and from the current times, explaining what OrtJet really does and how it developed from those early days 20 years ago.
So I started with a blank sheet, obviously with the assistance of the founding committee and their advice. And the aim there was, we had to start by saying, okay, well, there are two parts. One, we had to get consultants. So, I mean, we had the idea that people would be very keen, but would they be keen? You never know until you tested it. So we had to go out to the community and saying, okay, are you interested? Would you like to be an OrtJet consultant? And the response was incredible. Incredible. You know, once again, it was less, I don't think WhatsApp was even working in those days. I think we were using BlackBerry Messenger. I think, yeah, if I'm correct, I think that went on to about 2012 or something. We didn't have WhatsApp or groups like that. So we actually had, and I still think that's a good way to get to the community. We had flyers. We put flyers in all community organizations, shuls, shops, whatever, and we got out to the Jewish and people to use their networks, and we got an enormous response of individuals, males, females, right across the board, guys who had retired, guys who were actively involved, saying, yeah, they would like to give their time a couple of hours a week or an hour or two a week. So the response was actually incredible, overwhelming, which obviously gave me the inspiration that, okay, so we do have consultants. Then we had a test, okay, well, do we have, We knew we had it, but we had to go out there. Do we have businesses who need assistance? And likewise, we put out similar flyers, just obviously under with a different target, saying, are you a business who actually needs advice? And also the response was incredible, overwhelmingly so. That was sort of in the first couple of months, and we tested out the market. We had consultants who are keen to be involved. We had businesses who had the need, and we could get things going. So it was very exciting, very great to see that obviously that sort of the ideas we had, we could put into a proper business plan.
So these people that you call consultants, they became in what we now call the mentors. So they mentor their people who've been in business and have worked with them. And then you put those people together, so you got somebody with skills helping someone who's maybe not too sure what to do. And
exactly.
Then how did it grow over those 5 years?
So there was a lot that we had to do around that. So we had to put the process in place, because once you have a business, you have to understand what the needs are for the business. So we set up an interview panel on a weekly basis. Rowan Schwartz, who I forgot to mention there, he was, I don't think he was part of the initial founding group, but he got involved shortly thereafter and had been actively involved. And he gave a lot of advice in terms of how we set that up. We developed an OrtJet scorecard. So to understand exactly where, and that was quite challenging as well, to understand, okay, take a full review of the business, where are the skills lacking? The first part of OrtJet is actually getting the businesses matched with consultants. And then we used to have probably say a 3-monthly check-in with the businesses to see how they're progressing. And it started to ramp up quite significantly, where we were probably interviewing probably 3 or 4 businesses a week. And I think probably within the first year, we had probably about 200 businesses through our books in terms of requiring assistance. Having put that in place, that brought out the need of other areas that we need to build on. In terms of as we built the business. So one was around educating the mentors or consultants, because just because an individual is good in business doesn't mean they're going to be a great mentor or consultant. And we learned that very quickly. So we also set up some panels and workshops for the consultants. And likewise, on the business side, we developed, and I think you might have been one of the speakers a couple of times in the early days, but we said, okay, in addition to just being very focused on your direct needs, let's set up lectures, interactive sessions in terms of interesting areas in business and get sort of business leaders or successful people to come and talk to the businesses. We had many interactive lecturing sessions with the businesses to obviously give them a broader education on business.
And was this something that was unique to South Africa, or were you following some blueprint from somewhere else in the world?
Totally unique as far as I know. But in year two or three, we had interest from Australia, believe it or not, from the Jewish community in Sydney. And we assisted them, and they also set up a similar type of program. It's an amazing concept, actually, if you think about it, but actually people giving, willing and happy to give up their time and hand over those skill sets. So when I come back now in 2025, I see from those initial foundations, it's been a great organization. The numbers have been significant in terms of the number of businesses over the years, over 1,000 businesses we've impacted. And if you think about it, then those individuals, their families. So the impact on the South African Jewish community has actually been incredible, both from a financial and business skills perspective.
And my understanding is that it's grown more than just within the Jewish community. It's now much, much broader than that.
As I was leaving, I think the first last year, we introduced it. We introduced a percentage of our time to go to the broader South African community and have X number of businesses. And that was also very exciting and impactful. And that area has grown as well within the AuJet, which obviously speaks to the broader AuJet aims and initiative. So to feel that we're not only impacting the Jewish community, but we're impacting the broader South African community with our skill sets, it's an amazing story. And as you would know, when you build a business and you can look back and say, it's just been such a successful organization over these years. And I think it's got a long way to go. And it's great to be back now, sort of on the board level, guiding and it's really being managed and built, continually being built by an amazing team now.
Thank you, Dr. Avron Jurison, the initial CEO of AuJet when it was formed initially in 2005. As you know, tonight we're holding the 20th anniversary for AuJet, and Michael Seif is with us, the AuJet South African chairman and the previous founder, or one of the founders of AuJet. And he's one of the people who started. There was an extraordinary group of visionaries. It was the chief rabbi, Warren Goldstein, Darryl Krawitz, David Frankel, Gary Herbert, Lawrence Brick, Paul Bachar, Ron Schwartz, Sean Melnick, Avron Jurison, and Michael Seif. And we're lucky that Michael's with us tonight just to talk about the business. Mike, if you can maybe give us just a little bit of input of where you're at the moment with Ort and how it all started, and you've been there from the beginning.
Thanks so much, David, and thanks for having me. It really is a momentous occasion at the moment. If I look back, at the moment, I'm AuJet South Africa chairman, so in a voluntary position, and it's really an honor to be in that position. But I look at my experience 20-something years ago. I joined AuJet as AuJet National Director of AuJet South Africa in a professional capacity. I realize nowadays it's doing a much, much better job than I ever did. And AuJet is in a healthy position, doing really wonderful work in the Jewish community through AuJet and other programs, and also certainly beyond the Jewish community in upliftment and skills training. So 20-odd years ago, when I joined AuJet South Africa, the amount of Jewish work or work being done for the Jewish community was minimal. And a couple of years into that tenure, had that meeting that you referred to with a few of those amazing people, where Jet had been going for a couple of years and seeing one or two businesses a year, just amazing. Paul Bach and Lawrence Brick seeing a few people off their own bat. And I wanted to increase the level of activity in the Jewish community as well as South Africa. They needed to scale up and needed a proper infrastructure in terms of an organization and fundraising capacity and admin skills. And after that breakfast, we said, you know, met, it was a win-win to be able to partner and to house Jet, so or Jet in the AuJet infrastructure. And after that breakfast, that's really where we got going. A few months into that, I realized, well, there's no ways that I could do it while balancing all other audit activities. And that's when Averon Eurason was hired as the CEO, and he just took it to the next level and really focused on Jet in particular, and building not only the brand but actually the activities, getting a whole bunch of mentors under our belt, and hundreds, and businesses. I think within the first year, it grew certainly by 500% how many businesses we saw because of just the professionalization of it. And it's been an exciting journey. And obviously, there was funders involved as well who said, "Well, here is some seed funding, make it happen." And I suppose one of the principles that we try and apply to all jets, we're trying to facilitate good business practice and facilitate matching up good mentors and captains of industry with businesses. So we try to apply that to ourselves as a business as well. Well, we needed seed capital. We needed to make sure that after 3 years we were self-sufficient. All of those kind of principles we try to apply for ourselves, and really leveraging our volunteer base and people like yourself, David, who've been involved for many years and giving in such a way where you can actually see some of the rewards coming through. So that in a nutshell is my journey, where it covers the aut side of thing. And after stepping down from the aut South Africa role, and a few years later getting involved in the executive committee on a lay leader level, and about a year ago taking on the chair as aut South Africa, it's really heartwarming to see this, where the organization has got to, and Aut Jet tonight celebrating its 20th year.
Maybe a bit of confusion between aut and aut jet. What is the jet part? Is it an acronym for something? What does that stand for?
So originally, it was only known as Jet because those guys were doing it independently of Aut, and it was Jewish Entrepreneurial Training. That was the original kind of acronym that it stood for. And then when we got involved 20 years ago, the Aut Jet, we just retained the jet side of it.
What was the original purpose? And is that the purpose still today, or has the purpose changed a bit?
I think the original purpose has actually retained, and the original purpose is to assist businesses in a very efficient and effective manner. Efficient being cost effective, particularly. So then, when it started, it was uniquely and only Jewish owned businesses, and typically smaller businesses, but who needed some form of assistance. And it wasn't financial assistance; it was assistance in expertise, skills, and the how we what, the reason why we're doing it. The why we're doing it is to assist Jewish owners and businesses to survive and to thrive. The how we're doing it maybe evolved over time, and we ch tried different things, etc. Always using and leveraging our amazing volunteers, our amazing mentors. But then it built on extra training programs. So the how over time changed, but the why we're doing it is to help the business, and what we're doing remained the same. We are there to try and assist businesses, and now to be gone beyond the Jewish community, and assist businesses by leveraging this huge skill set of people who only want to share and help out of the goodness of their heart. It's not that they're being paid for it or in profit share or anything else. They have been there, done it, and typically we try and divvy up the mentors either in general business practice, or if it's a particular industry, we try and match a particular industry with a particular expert who's been successful in that industry, because that expertise, or what Malcolm Gladwell talks about, the 10,000 hours, it's not necessarily that our businesses out there have got that. So we try and match them up with those kind of people who can really accelerate the effectiveness of their business.
So if I'm a small business and I'm listening to this, or even a bigger business, first of all, is there a limit if I'm a certain size that I can't join? And then to get to my original question, if I'm listening to this and I think, hey, I'd like to get some mentorship, I'd like to get some input from a guy who's been there, done it, how do I go about doing that?
So just to say, David, that it's open to everybody. There aren't the limits. It has to be a certain size, or a certain size is too big. Sometimes we've had businesses that going from a loss to a profit, or sometimes it's a profit of X and then doubling the profit. So that isn't really one of the criteria. So it's open to everybody who would want that. There's a vetting process and a screening process that people go through and make sure that we can assist. But the thing to do, if you're out there and listening and thinking, hang on, maybe my business or my friend or family member's business can do some help, all they have to do is look on the Ort SA website or Ortjet website. If you Google that, you'll get the details and make contact with us, and then we will take you through the process.
So you've been involved in this on and off maybe for about 20 years. And as I said, tonight we're having the celebration of the 20th year. What motivates you as a person to actually do something like this? What made you think like I'm going to dedicate my time to helping others?
I mean, it's a great question. I suppose when you talk about motivation and what motivates one, there's always an extrinsic motivation and an intrinsic. So extrinsic, okay, you do it for money, you do it for, all of those kind of things. And I suppose when I was employed, I was doing it for money as well, although I did choose to go into this particular industry. Since leaving kind of the employ, there's really, it's an intrinsic motivation. It's something that I've been fortunate to have studied, to have certain experiences that I can partake and share. That's on my own level, but certainly trying to facilitate it because I'm not the expert and don't do a lot of mentoring. In the early days I did, but now I don't because there are better people and more established people and with better skills. So I see my role as just being one of the cogs in this big machine that facilitates people actually enhancing and enhancing their lives, and for me that's an intrinsic motivation. That's why I'm only willing and happy, to give my time to this.
If you think to the last 20 years, can you think of any stories or anything that stood out for you that give you nachas, where you have a look and you think, wow, that was great. I had an impact on this, whether it's on the business, whether it's on the individuals. I mean, you're doing this and it's out the goodness of your heart. Is there what is your internal payback from a, if we can call it a nachas point of view?
I do get nachas when I look at the numbers of things that taking a concept and actually making it real and scaling it up. So the fact that there are thousands, literally, of businesses and mentors involved in a good cause, that in itself is good enough for me. It gives me nachas. I remember one particular meeting that I had that just comes to mind. We were trying to get this off the ground and we needed funding. So there were amazing, generous funders who put it in there, and we acknowledge them. Particularly David Frankel and Sean Melnick in the early stages who gave some seed funding, and Rowan Swartz soon thereafter. And that was pre-concept, pre-implementation. So it was really amazing. But I remember, wearing my Ort hat and Ort Jet hat, I had to try and find other funders. And I went to a very big businessman, successful public company, international company. And I just like, as you're talking, it hit me. What he said is, what is this project about? It's rubbish. When you chop wood, you get splinters. Business is hard. Don't try and create this false safety net. If business is meant to fail, then let them fail. I mean, I do see the point on one end, and maybe it's a free market, and we shouldn't be aiding things that are doomed to fail. So obviously, didn't get any money from that fundraising meeting, but it really made me think, well, is this a good venture or not? Should we be almost falsely trying to assist people that and businesses that are due to fail? If I look at it, I do know, and I can count maybe on two hands, some of the businesses that did fail and that actually we suggested rather close down than carry on. But if I look at the 90% and the hundreds of businesses that actually succeed, there's an element of, wow, it actually is a worthwhile thing to do. And by combining this expertise that we have access to, that's all some people need is a foot up. It's not doomed for failure. Yes, there are splinters when you cut wood, and yes, business is hard, but with the right facilitation of resources, it's proven that we can actually make this huge positive impact. So that gives me good nachas.
And just looking in general over all your years with Ort and your own business, if you had to give advice for people who are going into business, obviously based on what you've said, be prepared to get splinters. But other than that, What other lessons do you think that business owners or people going into business should be aware of?
I think part of the advice is, be passionate and know why you're doing whatever you want to be doing. But I'll actually use something that Dave Frankel, when we were talking about Orjet and when I was talking about what was going on and we're trying to build it, and what he said to me, and I suppose he's a brilliant person to get some advice from. He said, and especially with Orjet, there was so much to do, and Orjet, there was so much and so many potential projects and how we could do it. He said, just be laser focused. Be laser focused on what you want to achieve within, let's say, the Orjet project, and just keep on pushing that. Be very focused on that. Don't blur your vision too much with all these other potentials. Obviously, you do your pre-assessment and see what the best returns would be or what the market needs, and then be laser focused on getting
Thank you for this laser focused interview. It's normally
that.
an hour with one person, and I'm having four different people from Ort involved in it. But yeah, Michael, thank you so much for your time and your effort that you put into Ort and Ortjet.
Thank you so much, David, and thank you for hosting this. It's an amazing way to get the almost hidden message of Ort and Ortjet out there. So we appreciate you and appreciate the listeners for tuning in. And really, our doors are open for anybody who has any on any side, whether you're a business, whether you're a mentor, whether you want to get involved on any in any way, please do make contact.
Thank you, Michael Seef, the Ort South African chairman and the previous founder, or one of the founders of Ortjet.
The Ortjet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
And now we've got the CEO of Ort, Ariella Rosenberg, with us. Good evening.
Good evening to you, David.
Obviously, tonight is a special night, the 20th celebration of Ortjet.
That's the story of Ort. That's the story that's lasted since 1880. Ort started in Russia in 1880 and evolved in the past 140 years and 145 years into a network of educational NGOs and schools, colleges, universities around the world. And in South Africa, we're quite unique. We have Ort South Africa that works with the outreach and the Jewish community based on those values of the importance of embedding education, skills development, training to provide the dignified life. Ortjet is a division of Ort South Africa. Ort South Africa started 1936, 1937. And in the past almost 90 years, it established a really strong stand in South Africa around the education, skills development, and entrepreneurship. We're working nationally. We provide all South Africa lives on the vision of educating for life. And our mission is around making people employable and creating employment opportunities. 20 years ago, when Ortjet started together with the chief rabbi and some really prominent business people in the community, it was really started as a venture to assist and support Jewish businesses in the community through providing them with networking, mentoring, and training. And I think since that 20 years, it's quite amazing to see the number of businesses and mentors that have evolved, throughout those years.
So it's been an amazing thing because it's developed not only the businesses, but even the mentors. So you've brought in mentors that are there to help businesses grow, but by
Yes.
helping, they themselves have grown. And you were sharing
Yes.
with me a little bit earlier that not only has the business grown, not only has the mentor developed, but even yourself, through being
Absolutely.
involved in all of this, you've grown your leadership style, your leadership ability. Do you have some stories around that and how it's helped you personally?
Yes, absolutely. I have been very, very privileged to be part of this organization for so many years. I've started in 2004 by the way, as well. I mean, almost as much as many years as the old Jet. I started, I've developed the STEM Academy. And only when I started my position as a CEO, I think it was 12 years ago, did I realize the potential of old Jet and the really unbelievable, incredible mentors that old Jet is providing. And I think it's very, very special to the Jewish community in South Africa, that willingness of volunteering time, which is many time, you know, we look at it as a value of money. You know, when you provide, when you give your time, it's just the best thing that you that anyone can do. Running an organization, you start with a strategy. And for many years, you know, you study strategy in schools, in universities and all that, and there's a very specific way of learning about strategy. And really, my whole perspective around strategy changed with one of our mentors, Ian Mann. When Ian Mann ran a workshop on strategy, by the way, he also wrote a book. He then also he also supported Oat through running a strategy session with a team at Oat. And that strategy that he ran with us many years ago, probably it was 12 years ago, it's something that our values and pillars still stands on. So it just shows you how an impact of a mentor can be such long term. And that's something that started with our first chairperson I worked with was Daryl Wise, who was also a mentor, and he was also one of the founders of Old Jet. He also supported me in the transition to become the CEO, because it's not something I actually ever dreamt of becoming a CEO of an organization. He saw the potential in me and assisted me through building values and culture for the organization and what culture and values mean. Having that privilege of being part of having Old Jet as part of Old South Africa, then I obviously would attend a lot of the sessions. And you know, there's so many unbelievable workshops that I've learned from. And just to name some, Lori Milner, who talks about personal branding. You know, you always look at branding of a company, branding of an organization, but a whole view that she brought in around how do you brand yourself and the importance of that. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons I agreed to my nomination. I accepted my nomination for the Investec Achievers Award. I understood it's part of my commitment and dedication to the organization that, you know, my personal branding affects the branding of the organization as a whole as well. And there are many, many, many. And I mean, David, you've been an amazing mentor. And, you know, I've learned so much from you, from your the way that you run the show, the way that you question, the way that you are attentive to the people and to the lessons that are learned, the way that you summarize, it's very inspiring. And also your dad jokes are the best for me. I mean, I'm sure that you your daughter may not think so because I know
That's
doctors
okay.
and children don't appreciate it as much, but I really like them.
But tonight, this interview is not about me, it's about oats.
Yes. No, but you are a very important part, and you have been a mentor for with Old Jet for many years, and then you took upon yourself that role of running the Old Jet show, which really, when I was sitting with the team, we looked and saw that a lot of the we suddenly getting an influx of businesses into Old Jet, and that's what we want. We want to get a lot of businesses that can get it, that can get that type of support that I know is unbelievable. You know, if you, I've seen businesses that when they take full and wholeheartedly the program that Old Jet provides, whether it's the training, whether it's the mentorship, whether it's the networking opportunities, those businesses fly. And in that time, because we've been for so many years, a lot of the businesses become mentors themselves. And, you know, as a way, a wonderful way of paying it back and paying it forward.
So it's not only for businesses that are in trouble or businesses that are failing. It's actually for businesses maybe that are doing well but want to do better and don't know where to go. Is that correct?
David, I think it's so correct. And it's also, when you run a business, you feel like you are on that, you feel like you're working in a silo. And one of the feedback I received, because at OTSA, we work also with businesses in the outreach community. And one of the needs that were identified was actually mental health. So running a business on your own has a lot of pressure from various points of view that affect your mental, physical health, and so on. And I think being part of OJET is not only for the skills and knowledge that you gain and for the networking, but I think it's also that sense that you're not on your own. Meeting other businesses that facing the same sort of challenges, you kind of feel that there's a place where you can call home in a way for the problems that a business you are facing on a daily basis, and that you're not on your own.
So it's interesting because I know the slogan is educating for life, but what you're
Yes.
saying is it's actually educating for a life
For
because
life,
you
yeah, I love it.
because now you have you can kind of breathe again and you can bounce things off people who've been there and done that. Plus you can get some extra education around if you feel weak in a certain area, there's training around that.
True.
If you look back on the businesses from your own personal point of view, if you can look at job satisfaction for yourself, does this give you your own personal purpose? Does it give you great satisfaction when you look at all the businesses and people that you've helped over the years?
Absolutely. I've been with OAT for many years. And the reason is because OAT's purpose, mission, and values aligned with my own personal purpose, vision, and values. And I think that's what makes this alignment a part of my life, a fulfillment. So most definitely looking at the successes of the businesses brings me a lot of joy and fulfillment. And that's why I don't see a business coming for 1 year, 2 years, and leaving, because there's always value in what OJET has to offer. And as you know, OJET evolves with the times, and the team always looks at what workshops and boot camps and training can be provided that align to the trends and what's happening in the market. So there's always a place for a business to be part of this program, even if they're not part of the mentorship. And for us, a business coming back, we can then see the success of the business. Just an example for that, we had businesses that did tremendously well, became mentors during COVID. They actually, some of those businesses really needed OAT more than ever. But post-COVID, and they're flying again. So that's why I think what's so nice about having OJET, it's not a once, I don't see it as a once-off opportunity for our businesses, but more of a lifetime opportunity. And how you utilize it, initially, when you start as a new business, you'll utilize all the offering, business boot camps, mentorship, and the networking, and so on. Obviously, listening to your radio show every Thursday at 6 p.m. And we're not closed to any business that wants to join. We will be open and see what type of intervention that business can get, because there's also different level of businesses of whether it's a concept ideation or a struggling business or just a business that wants to scale up. So we will cater to all of those businesses. We are Triple BE partner with corporates. So corporates can approach us from enterprise development, supply development, enterprise supply development and procurement and socioeconomic development. So we then able with a BE provide a support to businesses from the outreach community in a way that's really been very, very meaningful. In fact, we have various programs to offer to our businesses. And it also depends on what the corporate needs are to achieve their scorecard. And we work, we tailor make our program according to that. But we do have businesses from the outreach community that are part of OJET. And it's a wonderful mix and diversity that we bring to the program And there's a lot to learn, you know, on both sides.
If somebody is listening to this and they want to become a mentor, what skills does somebody need to have to be a mentor? What is Orchard looking for in new mentors who are going to join and help mentor other businesses and people?
A mentor needs to be willing to give their time. And that's the one element. The other element for a mentor is to have the ability to work with a business. First of all, not to do their homework for them, for the business, but to be able to mentor the business so the business is able to grow. One of the skills for a mentor is to actually being able to listen. Because many times a business will say, this is my problem. But if you really listen carefully, you realize that the problem may lie somewhere else. And obviously the element of the professionalism. We always look for financial experts and lawyers and legal experts and marketing, digital marketing. So having somebody that comes from a very specific industry also is very helpful. And obviously people with business acumen as well.
Thank you, Ariella Rosenberg, the CEO of Ought SA. This has been a special show interviewing four different people from Ortjet on the occasion of the 20th anniversary or birthday party of Ortjet. I'm David Zeidel, and this has been the Ortjet Business Show.